Greeting, Earthlings. We have now taken over your radio.
Welcome in to another edition of the Jayhawk Talk Podcast, episode 32. I do have sad news, though. My co-host, my normal co-host, Andrew, is not with us tonight. He had a work conflict come up last second, but that does not stop us. We've got to keep on going. And to save the day, my good buddy, Ty Gardner, you might know him as Fake Jeff Withy, formerly known as Fake Jeff Withy, has joined the podcast. How you doing, Ty?
I'm doing good. Thanks for that introduction. And I'd like to temper expectations from the beginning.
Sure.
Let you all know that, you know, this is Jayhawk Talk. The podcast has been great. And this will be the one exception. This will be like Breaking Bad's fly episode. So be warned. Just wanted to get that out there ahead of time.
No, I think that's smart. Yeah, it's we always like to keep expectations really super low and then just maybe kind of reach like a little higher. This is kind of like The League. If you watch The League, the episode where Seth Rogen wrote it and it got really weird. That's what this episode is. It's going to be interesting. You're going to want to listen to it, but you're going to be like, I wish I had that hour back, sort of. Part of me does, yeah. But not the whole part of me. Like, part of me is filled. Actually, like, filled a hole.
Well, and mostly what it's going to do is make you really appreciate Andrew and the great job that he does. So
I doubt
get ready for it. Should be fun.
Come on now. Let's be serious.
Hey, I got to suck up. You know, I may have legal troubles.
That's a good point. Yeah, you don't want my help. Let's go straight to him.
Absolutely.
All right. So in this show, other than Ty joining us, we actually have a big show. We've got Rob Doster on the show from College Basketball Talk on NBC Sports. Going to have an interview with him. Pretty exciting. Recorded that earlier. So Ty's beautiful vocals will not be on it. So if you're looking for Ty,
all right, guys,
he is not a part of that. But it's a great little interview. We're going to talk Late Morning in the Fog. That's not really the official name, but that's what we're calling it because it's kind of like Late Night in the Fog, but it's going to be Late Morning in the Fog. We're going to talk Jahlil Okafor, Tyus Jones. We're going to talk Wiggins shoe deals. Very exciting. Then a little bit of football at the end. We're going to talk some football. We're not done talking football here on the podcast. I know you're a big KU football fan beyond KU basketball. Am I right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. Good. Well, we will get to that, get your beautiful insight on that. But let's start with Late Morning in the Fog. This is, if you don't know, Bill Self, I imagine this is kind of how it went. He went straight to, you know, Keating or I don't know, one of the associate ADs and was like, hey, you know what? We had a couple guys that didn't make it to Late Night in the Fog, so we're going to do another one. That's okay, right? And they're probably like, what? And like, yeah, we're going to do another scrimmage. We're going to open up to the public, and we're going to have Jahlil Okafor and Tyus Jones in the house. So we're just going to invite the public and just do a whole nother scrimmage. And they're probably like, okay, well, let's do it. Screw it. So what do you think about this idea? Know,
I think for years, you know, fans would say, well, Late Night was great, but I wish we could have had so-and-so come.
Right.
I think this is great because it's like somebody finally had the great idea. Well, let's just do another one.
Right.
And let's skip all the parts that people don't want to sit through.
Exactly.
We'll show the Dream On video. We'll show the pregame video. And then we'll let them watch basketball. You don't have to sit through the girls' basketball skit. Mm. You don't have to see the golf team get introduced. It's perfect.
I could not agree more with you, Ty. And this is the great insight that I was hoping you would bring to this podcast that Andrew has severely been lacking on. So some details about Late Morning in the Fog. Again, that is not really the name. That is what we're calling it.
Doors open better than what it is.
Yeah. I don't know what it is. Just like scrimmage. It opens, doors open at 9 a.m. this Saturday, before the Oklahoma game. So doors open at 9. There's an open practice and scrimmage that takes place from 9:45 to 11. So you're going to get your money's worth considering there's no money and, you get to see the team practice and then do a short scrimmage. I should note that fans are not permitted to save seats for this. So you got to come and you got to say be in your spot and you
but
can park.
They will.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And you can park in some free lots, some lots for free until noon near the field house. So I think it's a great idea. I'm excited for this. Are you going to go, Ty? I think I am.
I am not going to go. I have a wedding, but I think you should go. You know, you could take over for Rob. You could take over for Rob Riggle. I think.
Sure. Yeah, I'll do that. Actually, Andrew does a great Rob Riggle impression.
He does do a great Rob Riggle impression.
So yeah, I'm kind of sad he's not here for that.
That's another thing you're missing out on by having me on the podcast.
Couldn't agree more, man. Actually, you know what? I kind of miss Andrew now.
You want to just postpone it?
I'm kidding, Ty. Okay. So yeah, I agree. Great marketing move. There was a little backlash on late night that we had touched on in the last podcast where once people couldn't get in, I think that was maybe another reason they did this is all those folks that they couldn't get in will definitely have another opportunity. I don't think it will be a full house. I'm guessing somewhere around 8,000 to 10,000 people. What do you think?
You know, looking at your pre-show notes here, 8,500 is what you said there.
I said over under 8,500. That's my question to you.
I think. That was your question. Sorry for spoiling that. See, this is what you get when you get an inexperienced co-host.
Over under 8,500, tie.
I'm gonna go over, but I'm an optimist.
All right, I like it.
What do you think?
No, I think that's right. I think it's gonna be right around there. That's why I set the over under 8,500 because I thought that's close to where it'd be at.
It's a good over under.
Although the question that I have is how many seats are going to be roped off? Are they going to do like a deal where Okafor and Jones have like their own section? Like they're just going to sit in the middle of one section?
I hope they do. And I hope that they put the dance team in that section.
Oh, there you go.
Them and the dance team.
I like it. I like where your head's at. Yeah. And, you know, maybe we can sit up there too. I mean, just the two of us, you know.
Yeah. I'll call Bill up.
Yeah.
Again, okay. I'm not going to be there, but I'm happy to help you up.
You can skip that wedding and do that. well, hey, I should probably note that Ty here is rebounding from probably going to be a tough year for you.
It's a transition year.
You, of course, ran a favorite Twitter account out there for KU fans, the Fake Jeff Withy. We know you from that. We know you, but we don't know much about you, Ty. I think this would be a good opportunity. Well, what are you doing with your life these days?
Well, I am. I'm on that 9-to-5 grind. Really enjoying that.
Okay.
My boss knows me as Fake Jeff Withy, so that's
perfect.
A plus.
That's good.
I'm not positive he even knows my name, but he knows about Fake Jeff Withy.
That's all that matters.
And yeah, like you said, I mean, I'm looking forward to, this will be a bit of a rebuilding year for me.
Yeah.
You know, it was tough. Kind of lost a bit of myself. I'm going to have to learn how to tweet from my own account, which will be interesting.
@TyGardner. Everyone give a follow @TyGardner.
Yes. Yes. Do that. That'll be fun for you. so yeah, I'm, just trying to,
is it going to be weird? Is it going to be weird watching games and not being able to tweet from Fake Jeff Withy?
It'll be weird. It'll also be good to be a fun person to watch a game with again, though.
True story.
I got to say, I was a terrible, terrible friend to everyone I watched games with the past 2 years. I was always on my phone. And so this will be good. I'll get to actually enjoy the action a little bit. And hopefully people will enjoy being around me a little bit during the games. So
it's tough when you go to the games, too. There's no service. You got to like step outside to do some tweets.
Yeah, it got pretty tough. You know, I'd have to go outside for the halftime locker room updates at games, and it was pretty difficult. But
well, now you can go to games, you can enjoy yourself, watch a little KU basketball like the rest of us fans, and you can just have to tweet from Ty Gardner.
Exactly, I'll be a fan.
That's right. Well, let's get to Okafor and Jones, who we previously mentioned will be in attendance this weekend. Jahlil Okafor, the number one player in the class, this is on Rivals, he's considering KU, Duke, Baylor, Kentucky, and 6'10", center, 270 pounds, just a monster. He looks awesome.
Good.
Yeah.
He's very good. I had to go watch some YouTube videos to catch up before this podcast. He's pretty good at basketball.
Good, good. Yeah, well, that's generally what all the rest of us do when I say something like, hey, I'm going to go watch film on this guy. Really, all I'm doing is looking on YouTube and watching his Ball Is Life highlights.
Yeah, but it sounds a whole lot better when you say you're doing film.
I'm watching film. Yeah, I'm actually, I'm going to this guy's high school and filming him and watching that. No. I'm watching his highlight videos, which, you know, whatever. That's what everyone else is doing, too. If they're saying they're not, they're lying. Unless they do it for a job. If they do it for a job, they're probably there. But yeah, his highlight videos look legit. So does Tyus Jones, 6'1 point guard, number 5 in his class, that will also be attending visiting KU this weekend. These two are considered a packaged deal where they are going to play together. What do you think of that? It doesn't happen very often. People always say they're going to be a package deal.
It seems like it never
happens.
But actually goes through.
But it seems like these two might.
I like, these guys will be coming in with chemistry.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it seems like they're pretty committed to it, to be honest with you. Any chance you think that we can actually land these guys? I know it's highly speculated there. Heavy Duke leans.
Heavy
what do you
Duke
think?
Leans. Yeah, you know, I think there's a chance. And the reason I think there's a chance is I think that Okafor likes KU better than he likes Duke. Uh-huh. Tyus Jones, I think, likes Duke better than he likes KU. And so there's a question of, okay, is it actually going to end up being the package deal? That's one. Because if it's not, I think we have a great chance at Okafor. If it ends up being a package deal, the only schools where they're both considering, as we mentioned, was KU, Duke, and Baylor.
And how is Baylor on that list?
Yeah, that's a great question.
I say this with every recruit I ever see listing Baylor. How is Baylor on that list, Kevin?
Well, you know, Scott Drew, he sells you a bill of goods. He's very good. I don't want to get into a Scott Drew thing. Do you want me to get into a Scott Drew thing? Because I will.
I kind of like you to. I mean, whatever. This is your show.
Everyone talks about, like, okay, how does Scott Drew do this? Is he cheating? Is he doing this? And I hate to talk about cheating. I'm not going to do that because that's just silly. Because everybody cheats. KU cheats. Everybody cheats.
No, they don't.
Okay, but everybody cheats. And some it's degrees of cheating. But I'm sure Baylor has, you know, some ways of cheating. No big deal. But why I don't like Scott Drew is he, from what I understand, and this is secondhand accounts all the way across, but he will, you know, Baylor is somewhat of a religious school. And he will go into a room with, you know, parents and bring a Bible, hold a prayer, talk about, you know, how he's this father figure for these guys and all this stuff. And to a better, you know, not really good way of saying it, but somewhat hide behind the Bible a little bit. And then when he actually is outside of the room, is a totally different person. And that kind of resonates a lot, I guess, with families and recruits, and which is why he gets a lot of guys down there. He signs a lot of guys, but yeah, I'm not a big fan. It's pretty well publicized that Bill Self is not a big fan. But anyway, yeah, that's my Scott Drew rant. Although you got to give him some credit. He came into probably the worst college basketball head coaching position ever when he was with the kids that remember when he came on where they had like the murders and everything.
Yes.
And he's turned
that
around.
Not a positive play.
No, not at all.
So you can understand the Bible thumping a little bit more when you, sure. when you think about that.
Yeah, he's turned it around. I think he'll keep his job as long as he doesn't get in trouble with
Baylor. As he should. This is Baylor.
Right, exactly. But if he was ever canned for whatever reason, I think he would have a hard time getting another job near as high because I think he's burned some bridges. This is, again, all secondhand accounts. So I'm not going to sit here and cite anybody. But anyway, not a big fan of Scott Drew. Although – on the visit where Okafor and Jones went down there to to Baylor, Scott Drew arranged for Okafor and Jones to go feed the live bears, the Baylor Bears they have on campus.
Wow. Yes. The
kids were feeding the bears, live bears on campus.
You know what? We don't have anything that can compete with that. No so bears. I'm a little terrified, to be honest with you, at this point.
We have squirrels. We have a lot of squirrels.
We do have some squirrels.
But yeah, we can't compete with the Bears. But I think you're right. I think it does come down to Duke and Kansas for these two. If they separate, I do feel like we have a great situation with Okafor. I would not, if I was a betting man, and I am, I would not not count on either of these guys. But then again, I didn't think we'd get Wiggins. So you can't you can't count Bill Self out. He's got a great pitch right now. It's a pretty exciting place to be. With Wiggins and everyone else on board. So there's a chance. I do like the idea of this late morning in the fog to kind of show these guys that KU is pretty legit fan base and a great place to come. So Yes. We'll see. I did notice that Kelly Oubre, our commit for 2014, is doing a little recruiting for us, though. He's out on Twitter and Instagram, and he's messaging Okafor, Jones, and Cliff Alexander. Pretty cool. Nice to have that.
That's great to see. That's great to see. It's somebody who's excited about coming to KU and wants to get other good talent in there with him.
That's exactly right. And, you know, say we don't land these guys. Or there's a few other guys out there. I know that you know a few of these guys. Let's see. There's who am I thinking of? Cliff Alexander.
Correct.
Who else is out there that we're looking at?
We've got Miles Turner.
Mm-hmm.
Justice Winslow.
Yep.
Rashad Vaughn.
Yeah, I think that's it. I think those are the only ones.
Those are the main targets.
Yeah, you know, there might be someone that comes up, you know, at last minute where say everybody leaves, say Embiid and leaves and Perry Ellis somehow has a monster year and goes pro, which I don't think will happen, but it could happen. We yes. might see a couple other guys come into the fold where we suddenly have some more scholarships to fill, but
some Christian Garrett types.
Exactly. Exactly. My man, Christian Garrett. But yeah, anyway, so pretty exciting. We got Okafor and Jones on campus. Even if we don't get these guys, it is always good to have the number one player in the class interested in your school. Go ahead.
It's good exposure. And it makes me just as happy, too, to see that neither of them list Kentucky. Well, I guess Okafor has Kentucky on his list, but they don't list Kentucky together. So you know that they're not going there as a package deal.
Right.
Which makes me happy.
It does make me happy. I'm with you. The tide's turning, my friend.
It is turning.
Kentucky is no longer a cool place to go. I'm just going to throw that out there.
No, we're the cool kids.
Well, speaking of cool kids, did you catch this story on Wiggins' shoe deal? The possible shoe deal?
Yes, I did. And I got to say, when I was younger and you'd hear all these numbers, so-and-so signed for $1 million, you know, however many million dollars, it didn't really resonate with me.
Mm-hmm.
Now that I'm working, now that I'm in the real world.
9 to 5, you're a working man.
And seeing $1 million and realizing just how much money that is. The numbers that were thrown around in Andrew Wiggins' story made me want to cry.
Well, yeah.
I mean, those are just absurd numbers that were out there.
I agree. Of course, we're talking of the Bleacher Report article. I think his name is Jared Zwirling wrote it. He's the NBA guy for
Bleacher. Let's go with Zwirling.
Yeah, Zwirling sounds good. We should have had him on instead of you. That's who I should have got.
You would have been an upgrade, I guarantee it.
Yeah. Oh, well, maybe we'll reach out to Zwirling sometime. Got the basketball world all a frenzy with this article, though. Like, everybody was tweeting about it. Everybody.
Yes.
I mean, NBA guys and college basketball guys everybody. The point of the article was that this guy cited a bunch of industry sources saying that Adidas will be willing to offer somewhere between $140 and $180 million for a 10-year deal for Wiggins right out of school for signing with them to do a shoe deal. I mean, just crazy numbers. $140
million.
That's
decent money out of college.
Yeah, he's doing pretty well.
Yeah.
And so the whole story was, it was actually fascinating read about, you know, Nike and Adidas and going back and forth about what kind of numbers these companies would come up with anyway, it was very interesting. I highly recommend you go check it out if you haven't read it. But yeah, it was interesting. What was the any parts that kind of jumped out to you other than the crazy numbers?
You know, it's just cool to see, I guess, the inner workings of those shoe deals and just how far in advance these guys start getting targeted and when these plans start getting made. And I definitely recommend the article. It's great to see that stuff.
Yeah, I'm with you. One thing that jumped out to me was, okay, so it talked about how Adidas kind of has the upper hand in this negotiation because KU's at an Adidas school, and Adidas is able to outfit Wiggins right now with whatever he wants. Kind of interesting.
Yes.
To think about. You don't really, you know, everyone says that KU is at a disadvantage because they're an Adidas school, not a Nike school with recruits, because Nike's a bigger brand and guys, you know, are outfitted with Nike early on and not as much Adidas. But it's kind of interesting what that means when you actually do commit to a school, that those representatives for Adidas can actually come in, you know, make shoes that fit your feet and kind of woo you a little bit, as like they have Adidas reps on campus that their only deal is probably to help Wiggins right now.
Yeah. This starting crazy. To develop those relationships.
Just crazy to think about.
It is.
Yeah. I mean, that was the part that kind of jumped out at me. Like, even right now, there are people in the shoe companies that are at KU and it's perfectly legal. I mean, they're not negotiating deals. They're just kind of, you know, massaging a little bit these, that Adidas is a great company. And
Well, and it's interesting, especially for a guy like Andrew Wiggins, who was all along thought to be a Nike lean.
Right.
And, you know, that bit of his recruitment came out where he even asked Coach Self, is it okay for me to wear Nike stuff off the court?
Right.
So it's very interesting to see how those have, how Adidas has become the brand to beat at this point in this article.
Yeah. No, I'm right there with you. You know, the part of the story that jumped out the very most to me, and I don't know if this is true, and I might be giving Bill Self way too much credit here, but if he actually used this argument to get Wiggins here, he deserves another raise. And that argument is this. Yes, Andrew, we are an Adidas school. And I know that since you have been born, you've been wearing Nike clothes and Nike shoes, and your AAU coach has been funneled through Nike funds and Nike. Your dad wore Bulls or Jumpman stuff to the visit with KU. Everything Nike your whole life. But if you come to KU and you're at an Adidas school, all of a sudden Nike's thinking, uh-oh, maybe we don't have this kid locked up after he's done. And this starts a bidding war between Nike and Adidas. If he actually used that argument, oh man, what an just ridiculously smart way to go about it. I don't know if he did or not. Like I said, I might be giving Self more credit than it's due, but that's an awesome, awesome thing to think about.
And you all can't see it on the podcast. Kevin is legitimately excited. His hands were just raised. We're Skyping right now. I was fired seeing up. His hands go up in the air. This guy is pumped just thinking about Bill Self in that sense. So, well, you know what, deep, Kevin, for you, I hope it was Bill Self.
Well, speaking of what we see in the background, I see an Eric Hosmer jersey hanging on the wall in your background. So we're just going to throw that out there. Anyway,
you do see an Eric Hosmer jersey here. Let me turn my camera for you a little bit, get a little KU action in there.
Oh, there's the Jeff Withey jersey. I was wondering where that might be. Good.
There we go.
Very nice. Well, you got to check out that story. Very cool. You know, one last point on it. The story did cite his inner circle. So there's obviously an Andrew Wiggins inner circle that people are currently talking to about some of these deals, some of this, you know, not necessarily negotiating or doing anything like that, but with a guy like this, he's a $100 million franchise waiting to happen. We already know that. It does say that he needs to open up his personality in order to have a chance to get this kind of money, because he's kind of a guarded guy, pretty quiet. And it'll be interesting to see, you know, what kind of personality he has on the court and off the court at KU. That's something I'll be watching for. I don't know about you.
Yeah. And that, you know, to be honest, those reports out of practice just kind of scare me with when they say Andrew Wiggins isn't really being that alpha male dominant type. And I tend to lean on the side of thinking this is just practice. This will change in the games and he'll just dominate. But it is a little scary. And I think that there are legitimate concerns from people, you know, with these shoe companies, with NBA franchises, maybe. Does he have that killer instinct? Will we see it this year at KU? I think that'll be one thing to watch for.
Yeah, and we saw the same thing with Macklemore. I mean, that's why he dropped in the draft, was they didn't think he had that kind of killer mentality on the court. And he's such a nice guy off the court. It'd be interesting to see what happens there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, let's move on to a little football talk. What do you say?
That's what everyone's listening.
Everyone is listening to for football talk. Actually, before we get to football talk, I think this is a great time to throw in the Rob Doster interview before we move on to football. So this is, again, Rob Doster, head writer for College Basketball Talk on NBC Sports. He knows his basketball stuff. Great stuff about Wiggins. Great stuff about Bill Self. National perspective of Kansas and Bill Self. So have a listen to that. We'll be back in just a minute. Sing, women, sing for you, sing for the left. All right, we are back. We got Rob Doster on with us from College Basketball Talk, NBC Sports. Thanks for joining us, Rob. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well, man. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Well, we appreciate you coming on. Your job is probably starting to get a little busier this time of year as we inch a little closer to the season. What's your normal day over there at College Basketball Talk?
It's a lot of prognosticating.
Oh, yeah.
This is the point in time where I spend a lot of time talking to people, a lot of time hearing how well this guy's summer went and how well this coach's preparation for the season went and how everybody's in shape and everyone thinks you're going to make the tournament. And, you know, everybody is all – it's all positive at this point.
Of course.
I guess that's a good thing.
That's right. Best time of year for it. Well, hey, we wanted to get you on. We kind of like getting some of the national guys on, and I follow your work over there at College Basketball Talk, and it's good to get kind of a national perspective on KU and Bill Self and the team. So I guess just kind of as a holistic question, what is the national perspective of KU and Bill Self?
Well, I mean, obviously they're one of the best programs that are out there. It just can't really get better than what Bill Self has done, the way that he has kind of dominated the Big 12 over the last 9 years is just something that's unprecedented at that level of basketball. It's just so hard to do to consistently churn out that many good teams, especially, you know, in the one-and-done early entry era mm-hmm. when you don't really know how long you're actually going to have some of these guys on campus. So it's just, I mean, he's as good as it gets. I would say right now, if you're ranking the best coaches in college basketball, I'd probably put him. I mean, I think Coach K is probably number one right now. But I mean, Bill Self, if he's not 1A, he's right up there in that same conversation. I mean, it's as good as it gets. You really can't get better than Kansas basketball.
Yeah, high praise. We appreciate that. I'm sure everyone likes to hear that. You know, we get stuck in here and talking about 9 straight and things like that. And it's sometimes nice to hear that folks outside of Kansas are taking notice as well. I saw that you had written an article about this time last year about Self and how he's kind of done it a little differently than some of the other coaches in the one and done era, where he has had the luxury of keeping, you know, high talent guys for 2 or 3 years you know, being able to obviously get their talent level up and then, you know, go to the pros. What do you think will be, I guess, different about it this year? Obviously, there's a ton of freshmen, a ton of guys who are considered, you know, to be one and done type players. Do you think his philosophy changed, or just, you know, it was a time to get these guys in? What do you think of his philosophy in this year?
I don't necessarily think that his philosophy changed, but, you know, he lost a lot of people off of last year's team. And you know, some of them were expected. He knew that those seniors were going to be gone. Some of them might have been unexpected as he was trying to plan out this roster. I don't think anybody really thought that Ben McLemore, you know, until the season really kicked off, I don't think anyone realized just how good he actually was. So I think that, you know, I don't think it ever changes how you go out and you recruit as a coach, whether you're Bill Self or John Calipari, whoever you are. You're going out there and you're trying to land the best players and the most talented players possible. You know, if you need a specific position, you go after that spot. But I don't think it necessarily changed how we went out on the recruiting trail. It just, you know, it'd be a very different conversation right now if he didn't happen to land Andrew Wiggins. And you know, I think some of that was luck. Some of that was the right circumstance with where his brother's going to school. But, you know, with Andrew Wiggins in the fold, it's a completely different story and a completely different conversation. But the point of that article that I wrote last year was that while some of these guys have gone out and strictly gone after, you know, specifically Coach Cal, strictly gone after these top 10, top 20 recruits, guys that he can try to shuffle off and, you know, get to the NBA as fast as possible, what Bill Self kind of done was, you know, get these guys that are more in that top 30, top 40, top 50 range, bring them into the program, you know, get them into shape, work with their bodies, you know, put a little bit of weight on them or get a little bit of weight off of them. And, you know, over time, develop them into lottery picks. Guys like, you know, the Morris twins and you know, Thomas Robinson, guys that none of them came into Kansas as projected lottery picks. And they left as, you know, All-Americans and guys that obviously were lottery picks. So it was just, it's kind of interesting to see how well players develop in certain circumstances. And obviously, Bill Self, you know, he's been as good as anybody in the country at doing it.
Yeah, I'm with you, and I think, you know, you in that article you had asked Self about one and dones, and he said, of course, you know, I want as many one and I'd take a whole team of one and dones because that means they're that good. You know, he's always kind of said that, and he's gone after those guys and missed out on a few of them, guys like John Wall and things like that. But you know, I think just it came to a head this year, and exactly like you said, just because of necessity for one, but you know, with Seldon on board and Joel Embiid on board, you know, with the Wiggins is kind of icing on the cake, it kind of changes, I guess, the national perspective, not necessarily of Self or the philosophy, but just, I don't know. It's almost like Kansas is the cool place to go right now for some reason. You know what I mean? Like the mentality, I guess, changed a little bit with Wiggins in the fold. Could you speak to that at all? Or you kind of hear or see the same thing?
Kansas has always been a quote unquote cool place to go just because, you know, Lawrence is great. Fog Allen might have the best environment in the country. They produce pros, great coach, winning. Kansas, it's never been uncool to go to Kansas, but I think when Wiggins went there and kind of bucked the trend of all these great players going to straight to Kentucky, I mean, I'm sure people kind of took notice of that and they were kind of like, oh, wow, you know, this kid is the best recruit in the class. You know, they're talking about him being the best prospect since Kevin Durant, and he's going to Kansas. Obviously, people are going to take notice of that. I don't think it changed the fact that Kansas can get in the mix with any recruit that they want. I hate to belabor the point, but it's Kansas. You know, they should be getting in with every recruit.
Fair enough.
You'd
be surprised, but some folks in Kansas land actually were getting a little bit down on Bill Self's recruiting for a while, missing out on certain guys just even a few years ago. So I know it sounds absolutely crazy, but it's been a thing here.
Now, huh?
Yeah, not so much. Not so much. So I saw another little story you put up on CBT today that caught my eye. It was pretty interesting. You wrote that Self had altered his game plan a little bit during that Texas Tech game last year that was in Fog Allen, while the Wigginses were in attendance on their visit. It said something to the effect of there was by design that Elijah threw 6 lob passes in the first half and using a lot of ball screens and things like that. Could you speak to that? I thought that was kind of an interesting little story.
Yeah, it was actually a nugget that came from Luke Wynn's feature on Wiggins and SI. Yeah, the cover story. And it was interesting to me that, you know, he would actually go out and kind of build. Obviously, when they're recruiting these kids, they're doing everything they can to convince them to come to school there. And, you know, they'll put their names up on the scoreboard when no one's in there. And, you know, they'll get the VIP tour of the campus. And you know, they'll do everything they can to get them there. Just you never hear, really, about them actually altering a game plan when they're in attendance. Like, yeah. It's crazy to me to think that he did that. And, you know, I don't know if they actually really changed as much as it seems when he makes that quote, because, you know, Kansas, one, they run a lot of ball screens, and two, Bill Self is so good at putting together those little quick hitters, you know, especially coming out of like a timeout or coming out of the start of the second half where they end up getting an alley-oop. Ben McLemore must have caught 20 alley-oop dunks last season. It's just,
right.
That's what they do. That's what they're so good at. But to see that he actually focused on getting those plays in and running stuff that he knows would impress Andrew Wiggins, it was kind of funny to me. It just kind of showed you how badly he actually wanted this kid to come.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. I just thought that nugget was pretty interesting. It makes you wonder how much that happens. I mean, if that ever happens anywhere else. Obviously, Texas Tech was down pretty bad last year, and so maybe had the luxury of playing around with the game plan a little bit, but still
got might have been a different story if he was playing Duke that
night. Right, exactly. Well, hey, so what are your thoughts on Wiggins? Obviously, the hype train here in Lawrence and in Kansas is getting a little crazy, at least with the SI piece and everything else that goes with it. Do you think Wiggins has got a little bit too much on his plate expectation-wise, or how do you think he'll handle it?
You know what? I think that I've been doing this for about 5 years now, and I've been getting out on the recruiting trail for about 3 years, and I can tell you unequivocally that Andrew Wiggins is the best NBA prospect that I've ever seen. I think with his length, with his athleticism, the kind of stuff that he is capable of doing, you know, I think he's going to be a fantastic scorer in the NBA. I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up being, you know, Trace McGrady that can defend like Scottie. I just think he's going to be a fantastic NBA player. The problem is, he's a little bit a ways away from doing that right now. You know?
Yeah.
He hasn't really learned how to utilize his athleticism. He's not a great scorer yet. You know, there's a ton of talent there, but you know, he's still got to refine some of his moves and you know, some of his dribble moves, and he's not a great jump shooter yet. And you know, he doesn't necessarily have that kind of killer mentality. You know, there's a mentality that you have to be a guy that averages like 26 a game. You know? Kevin Durant has it. It's kind of hard to put it into words.
Sure.
But just you look at these guys and they have it. You know, like Kevin Durant, there's a certain mentality that he's just a killer out there. You watch him. He wants the ball in his hands. He demands the ball. Even if, you know, he can't get it out of a set, he'll go out and get it 30 feet away from the basket and try to break the guy down. I don't know if Andrew Wiggins quite has that yet. And, you know, when people compare him to Durant and say that, you know, he might be a Carmelo Anthony kind of player, you look at that, and Durant averaged what, 26 and 12 as a freshman?
Yeah.
I think Melo averaged 22 and 10. And you know, I wouldn't be surprised to see Wiggins have a season that where he, quote unquote, only averages like 18 points and 8 boards, maybe a couple steals, a couple blocks. And, you know, you kind of look at that in a vacuum and you're like, wow, that's a great year. But when you see what he's been compared to, it would almost seem like that's kind of a disappointing year. So I think that Kansas fans should kind of take that into account that, you know, not only does – the other thing about him is he has other options on that team.
Right.
I think Perry Ellis is going to have a good season. I think he's going to step up and be a double-figure scorer. And I think the best thing – that could have happened to Wayne Seldon is Andrew Wiggins showed up, because Seldon's not going to have to be the primary option. He's a really good player, a really good scorer, one of these guys that's really aggressive going to the rim. He's going to dunk on some people this year. But I don't think he's a guy that can carry an offense himself. I think he can average 15 points a game as the second option or the third option offensively.
Sure.
So I think that the fact that there's other guys on that team that are going to be able to step up and kind of help out with that scoring load. You know, the biggest criticism of Andrew Wiggins has always been that when he's not challenged, that he kind of gets passive. There are other guys that will go out and dominate when they're challenged. Andrew Wiggins doesn't do that. He's fine to kind of, you know, take a back seat and let someone else take over when he doesn't really need to. So, I think he's going to have an excellent year. I think he's a phenomenal prospect, but I don't necessarily think that he's going to put up the kind of numbers that Kevin Durant did.
I'm right there with you. We've on this podcast been kind of downplaying a little bit, at least the numbers, from the numbers point. Exactly what you said. I mean, I've gone on record saying I'd be happy with 16-8, and like a lot of people would think that's disappointing, and it's not. It's an incredible year, especially in this offense, which, like you mentioned, there's a lot of scoring possibilities. But yeah, we're certainly very excited about Wiggins. It's helped put Bill Self and recruiting and things like that. The tide is certainly, I guess, changed a little bit. We got a guy named Kelly Oubre already committed. We're on the list of
Oubre's awesome. You're gonna love him.
Yeah, talk to us a little bit about him if you've seen him out on the circuit.
Yeah, I think that, you know, I don't know if he's gonna be as, I think he's gonna be a better pro than he is a college player, just because he's got that perfect skill set for kind of like a shooting guard, small forward in the NBA. He can really, really score. He's an excellent shooter. The only thing with him is that, you know, he's a big 6'7 lefty. He has awesome hair. You know, he can get to the basket, he can dunk on you. I think he's going to be a better defender than people realize. The only thing is that he's such a good shooter, he kind of pigeonholes himself into being a jump shooter and being just a guy that can spread the floor when, you know, anybody that can shoot can do that. You want to see him be more aggressive and get to the rim and go try to dunk on someone, because he can. He's good enough to do that. It's just an issue of whether or not he decides he wants to. That makes sense.
Yeah, that's exciting. I've heard nothing but good things and watching tape, and obviously it's a lot of highlight videos, so it's hard to really get, you know, a feel for the guy's game. But everything I've read is just, he's on the way up too. It's very exciting. for KU fans. And then obviously we've got Jahlil Okafor and Tyus Jones coming in this weekend for a visit. Care to make a prediction on where those guys might end up?
I still think that they're going to end up going to Duke. And I think that they're going to end up going to school together still. They've said nothing contrary to that point. And, you know, a lot of these package deals, so to speak, are kind of ridiculous, and it kind of pisses me off when people refer to them that way. It's just, you know, most of the time it's just these kids trying to get attention or being like, hey, you know, I wouldn't mind playing with my friend in school because we get along really well.
Right.
It'd be awesome if we go to school together, and all of a sudden it becomes a national story because someone puts it up there as potential package deal between Jaquan Lyle and Cliff Alexander. And no, that's not.
Exactly. I'm with you.
Gets me fired up, man. You know, I'm a little emotional about it.
No problem. Mm-hmm. Well, we also, you mentioned Cliff Alexander. He's another guy that we were after. Is going to announce in November. Any guesses on where he might end up?
If he goes to Kansas, I feel bad for the rims at Fog Allen Fieldhouse. Let's put it that way.
That sounds like a good plan. I'm looking forward to that. Hopefully, you know, he ends up going to KU. We're supposedly pretty high on the list, so we will see. Let's change the conversation to a little bit more national talk. The USA Today poll came out today. I think KU was sixth, if I'm remembering right. Anyone in that top 25 seem overrated to you, or top 10, or, you know, anywhere in that? Any overrated or underrated teams that jump out?
I actually didn't have a problem with any of the rankings from the coaches poll this year, which is kind of a surprise. Normally, I, you know, get a little too riled up about some of them. The only team that I thought was a little overrated was Oregon. Just because I think that I think people are kind of underrating how much they're going to miss some of their front court. I mean, they basically got to replace everyone. Arsalan Kazemi's gone, EJ Singler's gone, and Carlos Emery are gone, and those are three really good players that are going to be tough to replace. But you know, I have them in my personal rankings about 27th or 28th, just outside the top 25. And mm-hmm. if you're going to argue between like 15 and 25. That's more or less a coin flip this season, like yeah, it is every year.
This know? Time of year, especially, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't have a huge problem with that. That was really the only one that stood out to me.
What about anybody of the maybe that top 10, just kind of keep it in that range, that you think could be in for a letdown this year? And then maybe someone outside the top, you know, 15 or so that, you know, should end up pretty high by the end of the year.
There are two teams that are ranked in the top 10 that I think could end up, you know, kind of having an implosion kind of year. First of all, we have them ranked 12th, North Carolina. We have them ranked 12th in our NBC top 25. But mm-hmm. The more I look at that roster, the more concerned I get about it. Just because, you know, when North Carolina teams under Roy Williams, when they're successful, there are two things that they have. They have a low post scorer that beats people down the floor and can score on the block where you can just throw it into him and he's going to get a bucket every time. You know he is. Think Sean May, think Tyler Hansbrough, think Tyler sure. Zeller, guys like that. And they also have a point guard that is going to be able to get the ball up the floor, whether they beat them, beat people off the dribble or with the pass. Like, you know, Ray Felton, Ty Lawson, Kendall Marshall, guys like that. And North Carolina, VCU, doesn't have either of those things.
They're, yeah.
You know, they got a kid coming in named Nate Britt, a freshman, who can really get up and down the floor. But I don't know if he's, you know, the same kind of player as a Ty Lawson. I don't know if he's going to be able to create the same way. Then you have guys like, you know, look at their big men. No one can score on that team. So I'm concerned about them. The other one is Michigan. I think people really don't understand how important Trey Burke was to that team as a creator.
You don't have to remind us.
Yeah, he was. Phenomenal. So I think that how well they can replace him is going to be something to watch.
Yeah, I would actually agree with that. So I guess as we wrap up here, I noticed that you guys used to do a podcast. Are you gonna get the NBC podcast back up and going again? I think Troy used to do it. Is he not doing it anymore? I think he moved on. You gonna get an NBC pod up?
We're going to try to make it happen. It's a little bit more difficult than it seems. And at this point right now, it's not our decision. The decision is going to come from above my head. So we're working on it, and I'm hoping that we're going to make it happen, because, you know, podcasts are always fun. It gives people something to listen to when, you know, they probably should be working. But
absolutely,
I'm all for ruining productivity.
Couldn't agree more. Well, hey, thanks a lot, Rob, for coming on. We really appreciate you coming on. Where can we find your work other than at College Basketball Talk? Anywhere else?
On Twitter, at Rob Doster.
Rob Doster, R-O-B-D-A-U-S-T-E-R. Go give him the Jayhawk Talk podcast bump, which will probably be like 4 to 5 people, by the way. So
they all count in the end, man. They all
yeah, that's right. That's right. Maybe, I don't know. They might surprise you. We'll watch and see how many KU fans follow you. Rob Doster on Twitter. Hey, we really appreciate it, Rob. Thanks. Hey, thanks a lot.
Thanks for having me on, man.
Take care. All right. Thanks again to Rob Doster for joining us. Remember, go follow him on Twitter at Rob Doster. Let him know you listened to him on the Jayhawk Talk podcast. Maybe he'll come back on sometime. Sorry about the music, but not sorry. This is Kesha, and a little something you might not know about Ty Gardner. Ty Gardner loves Kesha. And part of the deal about him coming on the podcast was he had to have a Kesha song on the podcast.
Well, I've got a good agent who negotiates deals like that. So
yeah,
sorry, but again, not sorry.
Not sorry. Fun fact: I went to a bar with karaoke with Ty, and he wouldn't let me sing anything but Kesha.
Yeah,
it was pretty brutal.
Which is how
actually
karaoke nights should be.
Yeah,
they should be strictly Kesha only.
Yeah, those are my only options. He just opened up to the Kesha section and said, all right, any of these is fine. So
yeah, but only these.
Pretty tough. All right, let's get to KU football. Now, in your ears, Kesha's going to turn down Ty. In my ears, it's continuing to play. So I'm going to talk about KU football with it going on.
It's a little unfair, but let's do it.
Let's do it. All right. So KU Oklahoma this weekend, Saturday. Let's see, OU was favored by 23 points, somewhere in there. What do you think of that? Do you think KU is going to cover that spread? Do you think it's going to be closer than that?
Again, I am a huge optimist, but no, I do not think that's
going to. So you qualify it with the optimist part, and then you go the other way.
Yeah, it's, you know, I'm just so disappointed from that TCU game. You know, I think TCU did everything in their power. They just kept on saying, here, Kansas, take this win. We don't want it. You need it more than we do.
Yeah.
And KU just kept on responding with, nah, guys, really, we're good. Nah. And so maybe it's just that I'm, you know, still super bummed out about that game. But I don't know. And I'll say that I am not a betting man, but no, I don't think we cover that spread.
You don't want anything to do with KU on that side, huh? I'm kind of with you. I think OU is going to be pretty pissed.
Yes.
Coming off that pretty surprising loss to Texas this last weekend. So, yeah, I'm not feeling good about this game. This feels like it could be a little ugly. But I think it's going to be like a 25-point game. I'm going to throw that out there. I'm going to throw out like a...
And would you be happy with that?
No. No. Okay. The only way I'm happy is if this game is somewhat competitive.
Yes.
And so I guess you could say I should be happy after that TCU game, but I'm right there with you, man. It just seemed like, all right, how many opportunities are we going to have to like just hear you win this game? We don't want to, and we still can't do it.
Yeah.
So
it was depressing. And we talked about this in our little group text, but I felt like we needed to have a pick six, or we needed to have an interception in their territory to have a chance at scoring. And, you know, I don't see that improving this week. I know we do have some offensive play calling changes that you might want to get into, but
yeah.
I don't know if that's going to solve the issues.
I got to say, Kesha's song just ended. Thank God, because it was driving me crazy. I couldn't really understand or hear anything you were saying because I was really just jamming out to Kesha in my mind. I'm sure you made really great points, but I'm just...
Yeah, well, let me just carry your show some more.
Okay. You're actually a lot like Andrew. Just carry the show, and I'll just kind of be here listening to Kesha.
Yeah,
win-win for everybody.
World, man.
Exactly. All right. Well,
if only you were getting paid for this gig.
I'm not. Not one dime. Let's talk about Weiss, as you mentioned, making a few changes to the offensive play calling. Came out this week that he is, there's been some Twitter clamoring. I know I got a little bit into it, saying we need an offensive coordinator.
You brought this change about, Kevin. Don't undersell it.
You know, we like to say that Charlie listens to the podcast and that he takes a lot of his game planning from the podcast. I think it might be true. Like we try to kind of joke about it, but we're actually pretty honest about it. We really think he listens. I don't know if you know that, but I think Bill Self does too, and maybe even Obama. I think this is a good move. This is, of course, Ron Paulus is taking over the passing game, and tight ends coach Jeff Blasco will handle the running game and the protections. Kind of a weird deal to separate the two in my mind, but yes. I think it's better than nothing. What do you think?
You know, it's probably better than nothing, but that is just so – I don't see a scenario where that is a good thing. I don't see a scenario where that works. But again, it's probably better than nothing.
Well, the way that Weiss put it, and I probably did a bad job of explaining it, he said that when he brought in Campo, he said, all right, Campo, you're going to be charged of basically overseeing the defense, not necessarily being the defensive coordinator. You are the defensive guru. You're going to go out there and you're going to, you know, get all the coaches that you want. You're going to do all the position coaches that you want. You do it however you want. And go out there and basically design the defense the way that you want. And you're kind of overseeing it. You're not necessarily calling the protection or calling the blitzes and calling the, you know, whatever. And that's kind of what Campo does. And he has a lot of other coaches that are doing kind of more hands-on stuff. It sounds like Weiss wants to do the same thing with the offense. He wants to kind of be the puppeteer, the overall kind of offensive guy. And then let some of his assistants be a little more hands-on with the play calling and things like that. And I think it's a welcomed, you know, it's a little bit outside of what I would expect from Charlie Weiss, maybe.
Yes.
You know, the offense is his baby, and that he's giving away play calling is kind of interesting to me. So I'm interested, I'm intrigued, but I'm not totally sold.
And for me, I just hope it leads to less of those awkward substitutions between Heaps and Cummings.
Oh. You're right. I agree with you. And, you know, even said this week when they did the offensive game planning sessions, you know, meetings and stuff among the coaches, that it was the best sessions they've had since they've been at KU. So maybe some other guys are willing now to kind of jump in and say, hey, Charlie, I think this is a good idea. And this is a good idea. Maybe mm-hmm. there's a little more openness among the coaches. I don't know. I'm just kind of speculating. But I should say that Dave Campo's Twitter account has definitely been compromised.
Yeah.
He's tweeting out about Dave Campo 2 on Twitter. Quickly burn off 2+ inches of stomach fat while losing up to 30 pounds of fat in less than 28 days. That is what Dave Campo is tweeting out right now.
And you know what? I was so excited. Dave Campo retweeted one of my tweets around late night. But now that's taken all the excitement out of it, because I'm just picturing that I got hacked and it was just somebody.
Some guy,
you know, selling fat burning pills. Like, it's Ty Gardner tweet. That's all right.
It's him though, because he's tweeting to Deion Sanders. I mean, he's also tweeting to Deion and he's retweeting his son, Dave Campo Jr. But he's also tweeting about, now who knows? Maybe it is him. Maybe he's just really excited about quickly burning off 2+ inches of stomach fat while losing up to 30 pounds of fat in less than 28 days.
That could be. I mean, it's very realistic.
It's possible. Okay, so what's your prediction for the KU game? There's something out there.
As an optimist, I'll go 49-21.
49-21. All right. Well, that's,
how about you?
That's pretty close to where I'm at. I don't know that we can score 21 points. I think we'll keep them to less than 49. So I'm going to say like 38-20. I think we cover the spread. I'm throwing it out there. Crazy, crazy prediction. I don't know how many people will be there. I will be there. Will you be there, Ty? I'm not sure.
I will not be there. Again, I have the wedding. Oh, right, but right. I don't want you to get away with this. Did this just happen where I predicted 21 points and you said, I don't know that we can score that many, and predicted that we score 20?
Yeah.
That just happened?
Yeah, that definitely just happened.
Okay, cool. I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah, it's a little less. I don't know if you can.
It is. Technically, you are right.
My point is, I don't think we can score three touchdowns. I think we're going to score two touchdowns and then some field goals.
Wyman's got a leg, so I could see it happening.
Let's go to some Twitter questions. What do you say?
Let's do it.
You're a man of the tweets. You're a man of the Twitter accounts out there.
I try to be.
Why don't you go on the Twitter there and see if you can find any good questions for us? I'll do the same, and maybe we can come up with a few questions here. Here's one from @JayhawkRecruit. How will the Kansas-Duke game go? What's your prediction there?
Well, Kansas will win it, obviously. Okay.
Well, again,
I'm an optimist, and you're not. I think you might be right, but I'm excited for it. Regardless, it'll be a phenomenal matchup. And
I'm going to be there. I'm going.
When did this become official?
Like 2 days ago.
Why was I not invited?
I'm sorry. I got a free ticket. It's actually kind of a funny story. I do a fantasy football podcast on the side, as you know. Some other folks don't. The guy that runs the fantasy football podcast, huge Kentucky fan. I'm sitting in the Kentucky section. He gave me a free ticket. So
it's kind of a win-lose situation.
Well, I'm just going to be sporting the KU gear and just annoying all the Kentucky people. I'm going to fight from the inside. This is what I'm going to do.
Okay.
So I think I'm doing the right thing. Plus, it was free.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's the real benefit there.
Do you see any questions you want to answer?
You know, I like this one from @GarrettNice, mm-hmm. Nice, one of those.
Yeah, sure.
If you could add one game to KU's schedule this year, who would it be?
I assume we're talking basketball.
I would think so. I mean, Alabama for football, that'd just be fun to watch.
Harlem Globetrotters.
That's a solid answer. I'll go with the Chicago Bulls.
The Bulls? All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that
just because we have good history against Derrick Rose. So
Garrett, I'm sure that's exactly what you were looking for, the Globetrotters and the Bulls, but that's what you get today. let's do another one here. Will you plug my video game podcast based out of KU? Well, I suppose so. Go check out the Mong podcast. MONG. There you go. Let's try another one. On a scale of 1 to 10, how much did running that Twitter account improve your dating life? And I think he's talking to you and not me. The Jayhawk Talk Twitter account.
Doesn't have many groupies?
No, not so much. But I think maybe he's talking to you. So tell the folks, how did it improve your dating life?
So he set the over under on this scale of 1 to 10 at 11.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say it was actually more of a 0.
Mm.
Many people may not know this, but I have actually been dating the same girl for coming up on 8 years here in early November. So
not.
Yeah. Yeah. Happily engaged for now. Although I did just find out she likes the new Miley Cyrus songs, that engagement might be, you know, on the rocks a little bit. So no, fake Jeff Withy did not help my dating life at all.
That's a bummer too.
Yeah. You know what? I heard it helped other people's dating lives though, which makes me so happy.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think that's one nice byproduct is people pretending to be fake Jeff Withy and
you're yeah.
Like, yeah, that's
which
nice.
I never understood that. That always people would tell me, oh yeah, there was this guy at the bar saying he was the guy who did fake Jeff Withy. And I just would hear that and I think, really, that sounds like the absolute lamest thing you could say to a girl at a bar. Like, hey, I'm that guy who's on my phone for the entire basketball game.
Right.
Do you want to go home with me?
Right. Well, so you know, you'd be surprised.
Get it, but maybe it worked. And if so, good for those guys.
I hope it worked for that guy. okay, here's another one. How many Big 12 games does KU lose this year? And we're talking KU basketball, Big 12 games, I would assume. How many games does KU lose this year?
I will go with 3.
I like that number. Good number. And that will be enough to win the league. Not close.
Yes.
I think.
Although who does Oklahoma State lose to?
They're going to drop some stupid games. They will. Okay. That's just their coach is terrible. I'm sorry. They're going to win a couple games. They might beat us there. Mm-hmm. You know, in their gym, it's going to be the biggest game of the year for them, but I don't know. I'm not convinced by that team. I think they're going to be good. They're going to win a lot of games because the league is down. But anyway, I'm not too worried about them. I think you're right. Three games sounds good. At K-State will always be a tough one. And Ames will be tough. At OSU will be tough. At Baylor. And I don't know that we're going to lose at home. I mean, we might lose one. So yeah. There's five maybe possible losses. And I think we'll win two of those. So.
You know, you mentioned Ames. Are you as excited for that game as I am?
Oh, I'm going again. I went last year. It was so much fun.
I love making their fans sad.
Oh, it's so great. The tears, the Iowa State tears, just tasting yes. them up.
It's incredible. And I cannot wait for that game this year.
That will be fun. They actually have an okay team this year, you know, as far as Big 12 standards go, because the Big 12 is pretty terrible this year. Don't let anyone get out there and tell you that it's going to be a great year for the Big 12, because yikes.
Those Jayhawks are pretty good.
They are pretty darn good, though. Here's one from Alec F. Michael. Who wins the title with no bias? I think he's assuming that we have bias.
Which is ridiculous.
Who wins the title? Also, if you could predict who we end up with at the end of the class, who would they be? I think he's, of course, talking about the recruiting class. So let's talk about the first question. Who wins the title this year?
Okay. So... obviously, I'm going to choose KU.
Okay.
It's tough for me to not think that Kentucky's going to be in the picture, which I don't like at all, but I would love to beat them. From everything I hear, Duke and Louisville. But if I had to go with one, I'd say Kentucky would be the one I would pick after KU.
I'm not that worried about Kentucky. I don't know why. Maybe it was just last year and... maybe I should be, but I don't know. I don't know if they're going to do it this year. I like Michigan State and Louisville a little bit. I think both of those teams are really solid with really good coaches. But yeah, I'll predict KU with you just so I don't get any angry emails. That's really the only reason I'm picking them. Not that I don't think they can do it. I think that's just a toss up. This year is going to be so much freaking fun in college basketball. There are so many good players and so many good teams. It's going to be so much fun.
I cannot wait for it to start.
All right, let's do one more question here. Let me scroll through and see if I can find a very good one here. I don't see any good ones.
All right, so that was the podcast.
That was the end of the podcast. Oh, who's most likely to redshirt? That's a good one. Some people have been talking about that quite a bit. Do you have any thoughts on who's going to redshirt this year, if anybody?
I think the obvious choice would be Andrew White.
Yeah.
Would that be...
I'm with you.
Your thought as well.
Yeah, I think so. If anybody, I bet it's Andrew White. I do not think that, like, people talk about Frank Mason is going to redshirt. He is not going to redshirt. That dude is going to play.
And, you know, I know he's not on scholarship, but I would love to gain an extra year of Tyler Self just for my Twitter account's sake. Mm-hmm. So if he could redshirt, that would be great.
Yeah,
so,
Bill, I like that.
You're listening.
Maybe we should start that campaign too, because I think that Bill Self will stay at KU as long as Tyler Self is still here.
Yes.
So maybe we can just get him to redshirt and then maybe become like a graduate assistant and just keep him on staff somehow.
Correct. That would be ideal. And you know, it's never a bad idea to get an extra year of really weird mustaches. So
I couldn't agree more.
I'm on board for that.
Could not agree more. Well, hey, Ty, I think you did a great job here for your first time on the podcast. Thank you so much for filling in.
Thank you. I think I did a job. So it was serviceable. And if you ever need somebody in the future, let me know.
You are our bi-week fill-in. So much for fantasy football folks out there. You are a great bi-week fill-in. You're kind of like... you're kind of like Andy Dalton.
I'm the Andy Dalton of Jayhawk Podcast.
You're the Andy Dalton of
And them. I think I have a new Twitter bio. Thank you very much.
I am happy to help. And thank you for listening. Sorry for the terrible co-hosting between the two of us. We got it done. We made it to the end. At least an hour of podcasting fun for everybody with a little bit of Kesha, a little bit of Rob Doster. Thanks again to him. And we'll catch you next time. Rock freaking chill. Every dollar that we spend just to watch our team win on a Jayhawk shirt or a new clean Benz with a sticker on the back with the K and the U. Yeah, baby, that'll make you say, ooh. We at the top of the top, just like we should be. Started from the bottom, thanks to what James could see.
Dr. Naismith made a game for man, changed lives for the players and did the same for the fans.
Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks,
this
baby.
This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby.
All them years that we've been cheering, everything that we've been hearing, all them spreads that we've been clearing, never been no team we fearing, and look how Bill got us steering, all them tournaments appearing with no team that's interfering, nine times get to cheering with them banners held high, and the crowd going wild, night before the final four, you can't even sleep now, yeah we at the peak now, we can't even leap down, March Madness, man, we've been waiting weeks now. If you a Hawks fan, go ahead and hold them ones high. Shout out to the booster showing love and the alumni. I'm speaking for the fans, even though I'm just one guy. We appreciate the love, love won't run dry. Imagine the state of Kansas with no Jayhawks. That's like having no streets but trying to jaywalk. They see us as support and we see them on the court. So we keep it loud and do our best so we don't come up short. We win together and we lose together. But win or lose, we still booze together. Struggles in my life will change me as a man. But one thing that'll never change, I'll be a Jayhawk fan.
I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces. I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces.
This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks,
this
baby.
This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawks.